Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Anyway, so this video is about Herbert Morrison, the grandfather of Peter Mandelson. And I remember in the 90s when Mandelson was first very prominent, it was so often mentioned that who his grandfather was. But he's largely forgotten, someone who deserves more recognition, someone who many people thought should have been Prime Minister, a Labour politician. It's probably because of him that Mandelson joined the Labour Party. He was 12 when his grandfather died. But the contrast between the two could scarcely be greater. And because of the absolutely disgraceful misconduct of Peter Mandelson, poor old Herbert Morrison will be spinning in his grave. So he was born in 1888 into a working class family in London. So his father was a policeman. Back in those days, it was very badly paid indeed. Goodness, he's one of about four children. His father drank, so there was very little money left. And so that's why Herbert Morrison, he lost sight in one of his eyes. And there was no disability benefit in those days. So anyway, he left school at the age of 14. Remember, the school leaving age in those days was 12. So he was lucky to go on to 14. If you had money, you could go on to 16, 18. You could go on to university. Only about 1% of people went on to university. So for working class people, that was virtually impossible. Remember, being a police constable was very much a working class job and not a middle class job in those days. So he craved education. He read a lot in his free time. And then he was a shop assistant. He worked very, very long hours. And there was no nonsense about, I've got depression, I have anxiety. You'll work or starve, that's it. Okay. So it was difficult not to sympathize with the Labour Party in the early years. And, you know, had I been around the 19th century, I would have been back in the Labour Party then. When there's no minimum wage, when there was real exploitation, okay, when there was real poverty, not so-called poverty, not people eating junk food, people not eating at all. Some people can only afford two meals. Some people only afford one meal. And by the late 19th century, I don't think anyone in the United Kingdom starved to death. When there were disabled people who genuinely couldn't work, who didn't get any money, when there was no sickness benefit. If you couldn't work because you're ill, that was it. You didn't get anything. If you know, in terms of employment rights, there were almost none. And okay, you had the right to join a trades union and to strike and so on. There were very long hours. There's almost no health and safety equipment. It was insufficiently regulated. And yeah, the tax system was regressive. It was all bad like that. And there were a lot of people like him who were able, who yearned for education, but for financial reasons couldn't continue beyond 14. So there was in social injustice like that, which needed to be addressed. And that's where the Labour Party came along. And that was a good thing. Obviously, these days it's the opposite way around. People have got far too much entitlements, money for nothing, and fecklessness is promoted by Mandelson's Labour Party. And obviously, the Conservative Party didn't do enough to stop it. And we're exploited. Those who actually work for a living are ripped off by the benefits parasitical class. Anyway. So he was a conscientious objector in the First World War. He managed to have that accepted, that for moral reasons, he refused to fight. He would never fight in any war. It was insufficient to say, I subject to this war, but I would fight in a moral war, not this one's immoral. No, whether war is moral or immoral is not up to you. War is national, not individual. Okay, so about 1.5% of people applied to be conscientious objectors, only about half of them accepted. So he had to do some important war work, working in a garden producing vegetables for the war effort. But, you know, he wasn't going to get killed or wounded or captured. He wasn't subject to terrible military discipline. He got to go and sleep in a house each night. He didn't have to get soaking wet in a trench, filthy, not washed for weeks and not get food sometimes and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so he was very involved in the Labour parties from before the First World War. He had a flirtation with Marxism, but not gone for it. Anyway, so although I've seen plaques to him in Lambeth, but he was elected to Hackney Borough Council in 1919 when Labour was starting to have a breakthrough, about to push the Liberals out as the major party. I mean, Labour had been a major party in London even before the First World War. And so Labour won the next year. He became mayor of Hackney. He was a football fan. I don't think his grandson even pretends to be. And so although he was a socialist, it didn't stop him buying shares, including in the club. Then there was London County Council, which is sort of the precursor of the Greater London Assembly. There was no mayor of London back then. There's the Lord Mayor, which is a ceremonial position. So and then he was a member of Parliament for Hackney South. Remember that northeast area of London where he was a councillor, had been mayor. But 1923, elected to Parliament. The following year, he lost his seat. James Ramsay MacDonald's government only lasted about 11 months. So he was back in the council again. and finally elected an MP in 1929 when Labour won again. Minister for Transport, when more cars were coming in, buses were getting better, trains were slowly declining, and so on. So anyway, he was an MP and on London and County Council. He did a lot of things. He helped to get enough of the money to build Waterloo Bridge and so on. The Ladies Bridge, built largely by women in the Second World War, building the Metropolitan Green Belt, so there'd be nice green space for Londoners and so on. Back in Parliament in 1935, and he thought that Clement Attlee, the leader, should be got rid of, but no, he lost his bid against Clement Attlee. There's a long-standing rivalry between them. Attlee, the second Labour Prime Minister, the first leader of Labour to be there for a substantive time. Attlee's from upper middle class background, son of a well-to-do solicitor, had been to Haileybury, University College, Oxford, a barrister, all the rest of it, had got involved in the Labour Party in Limehouse when he was volunteering at a boys' club and was horrified by the poverty. So now Morrison was not a Freemason. He thought New Welcome Lodge, a Masonic lodge dominated by Labour MPs, had kept him from winning. So he was friends with Hugh Dalton, an old Etonian, Oxonian, later Chancellor Exchequer, son of one of the chaplains to, I think, King George V. He wanted to reform the tax system to make it more equitable, but it didn't get through. Anyway, the Second World War came along, and obviously in 1940, Churchill, he formed that coalition government, brought Labour and the Liberals into coalition, because the united strength of the nation must be there. Everybody must feel represented in the government. And that's why he was made Home Secretary when John Anderson, a Conservative, was then, I think, made was made a Lord President of the Council. I have a feeling he was Secretary of State for Scotland. So Home Secretary is one of the great offices of state. There's Prime Minister, below that, Chancellor Exchequer, Home Secretary, Foreign Secretary. So Home Secretary in charge of immigration, passports, policing, prisons. It's a very important job. So not far off being that. He was willing to take drastic action. Desperate times calls for desperate measures. Necessarily, civil liberties had to be abridged. Outlawing the Daily Worker, a communist propaganda rag, which wanted the UK to give in to the Third Reich, and so on. So eventually that ban was lifted when the Soviet Union entered the Second World War. And Morrison had the racism was typical at the time. When African-American soldiers arrived, he voices concerned that there would be romantic liaisons between white women and black men, and children would be born. And of course, children were born and things like that. He did something very controversial. He refused to accept some Jewish refugees from France during the Second World War, which was obviously, it ended up as being a death sentence to them. Admittedly, the Holocaust wasn't actually known out at the time. So he helped write Labour's manifesto in 1945, and they won a huge majority. He was then representing Lewisham East. He was also the brains behind the Festival of Britain, just like his grandson was behind that Millennium Dome in 2000, which was a complete flop, and so on. Now, he was minded towards Zionism. I'm not quite sure why, but his plan for dividing Palestine was rejected. A different one came in. So he didn't get on, I think, was with Nye Bevan. Did someone say that Morrison's his own worst enemy? And Nye Bevan says, not while I'm alive, he's not, and so on. So he was briefly Foreign Secretary when Ernest Bevan resigned. Ernest Bevan came from working class background in Southwest England and left school at 12. Morrison, he disliked Mohammad Mossadegh's government in Iran, but took the Conservative government the next year to orchestrate the coup behind it. That Festival of Britain and Royal Festival Hall around 1951, the centenary of the Great Exhibition, showing all that the United Kingdom could do. When Churchill came in, he had it dismantled, thinking it was just a 3D propaganda exercise for socialism. So Labour was out of office in 1951, and then many people thought he would become leader after Attlee, but Attlee refused to retire in 1951, and Morrison couldn't get him out. Was he too old to become Prime Minister? As Hugh Gaitskell became a leader of the Labour Party in 1955 when Attlee retired, and Morrison had been deputy leader for a while. So people sometimes describe himself as deputy prime minister, but he never actually formally had that title. So he left the House of Commons in 1959, was ennobled as Baron Morrison of Lambeth, one of the first life peers. So he's married for many years. He had only one child, very unusual to be an only child in those days. The daughter Mary is in Peter Mandelson's mother. So he and his wife were not close. They never got divorced. Divorce is very unusual, would have been a political scandal in those days. He was certainly very friendly with Ellen Wilkinson, the first woman to be a Labour MP, later education secretary, but it's unclear whether it was just a friendship or they had a romantic liaison. Miss Wilkinson never wed and never had any children. That very short woman, she was 4'10". So there he was. He died in 1965. So Herbert Morrison, I remember seeing a speech by him saying there'd be no hostility between the Labour Party and the middle class. He was a very honourable guy. He was there trying to help people, make life better for the ordinary person, and he was incorruptible. What a stark contrast to his disgraceful son, the despicable, the revolting Peter Mandelson.